I found looking at scripture and going back to the scriptures, as we did over the conference, we looked at the fact of redemption. And if you remember, we looked at the reality of redemption for body, soul, and spirit. And how you come into redemption, does anyone remember? By the hearing of the word. What word? Okay, what is it that saves you? Belief in what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what does the gospel basically consist of? Do you remember? He died for our sins, buried, third day, rose again from the dead, according to the scripture. And that is the basis of the good news of the gospel. And when you start to look at it, you've got to also appreciate what opposes it. And I think so many people don't understand the opposition that comes to the gospel. And churches oppose the gospel continuously because the gospel and reality comes by faith. And what religion demands is works. And people feel that if they don't do certain religious things, then they fall out of favor with God. But you don't get into favor with God by doing things. You get into favor with God by grace. It's a free gift, and you accept what Christ has done for you, and that brings you into a right standing with God. But when you go on in the Christian life, you remain in favor with God. How? How do you remain in favor with God? By grace are you saved through, and that not of yourselves, it is. They overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb. What do you do in obedience for the blood of the Lamb? Nothing. Just believe. Now, it's very important to understand this, because what happens is the pressure is put on people that they must obey, but obey what? Now, if you look at Abraham, he was very limited in what God told him to do. God said, leave your country, your kindred, go out to a place where I'm going to show you. Now, do understand that when he left, he basically had faith that what God promised, God was able to perform, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. I'm talking of Romans. Now, the righteousness was imputed to him on the basis of a promise of God, which was a promise made by God, and he believed that what God promised he could do. And we are the seed of Abraham. And we have to understand that we live by promise. We do not live by obedience. Because we live in the fullness of the promise, we love him, and because we love him, we keep his commandments. But we do not become right before God and keep right on the basis of obedience. We become right according to the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, because we understand we are sons of God, born from heaven, and we love not our lives unto death, because we realize that we're not living for ourselves any longer. We live for God because we've fallen in love with him and with Jesus Christ who's died. Now, religion says obedience, but that doesn't... obedience will never keep you right with God. Faith keeps you right with God. Obedience is a snare, because what happens is you end up in condemnation. You feel guilty if you feel you haven't fulfilled every requirement that Christendom loads on you. Now, I'm not saying you should disobey. I want to make that plain. I'm just saying that your standing with God is not on the basis of obedience. Because all of us, at some point or other, sin. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. What restores our standing? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. All right? Always understand it's faith in the blood and faith in the sacrifice of Christ that keeps our standing with God. It's so subtle, because it's so easy to switch to think what I do justifies me, but it never can. What he did justifies me. Okay? Is that right or wrong? I know it sounds pernickety, but I'm actually trying to get home to you what happens and why people end up in condemnation. Because they're taught that, well, if you do this and this and you obey, then you're right. But you don't get right with God, and you can never get right with God by what you do. You get right with God by believing what he's done for you. Okay? That lifts a big weight off your shoulders. Because what he's promised, he is able to perform. God, who's begun a good work in you, is going to perfect it. He's not going to abandon you. And we're created unto Christ, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God's already foreordained it. But we can only do it by faith. We can't do it by works. And the switch comes, and people get caught, because as soon as they get born again and as soon as they come into life, they get condemned, because people say, well, you've got to do this, 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 and they put expectations upon them, and when they don't live up to those expectations, they fall into condemnation. But the condemnation is false, because what keeps me right with God is what has always kept me right with God, which is the gift. He died for me. What saves me? Belief in what? If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we shall be... Huh? Now, what have I done? Nothing. It's what he did that I'm putting my faith in. And what I'm wanting to emphasize is, once you're born again, you still live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And do understand that I'm not negating the necessity of obedience. I'm just pointing out that obedience is not the source of your standing with God, and never will be. Okay? Once you make it obedience, you're in trouble. Because you get trapped into condemnation. Because, to be honest with you, you'll never fulfill the law. And if you come under legalism, let's look at how Paul explained it to the Galatians. It's more clear in the book of Galatians, which is where I wanted to come to. And as I say, this is probably the most controversial part of being someone who believes in the sovereignty of God, totally. This is the controversial part. And Paul, when he wrote this epistle to the Galatian church, he understood the importance. Now, he says this, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. He gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To him be glory. Amen? The purpose of his sacrifice was to bring deliverance to us. Do you all agree with that? Okay. Now then he goes on. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You see, it's so easy when you hear about the grace of God and when you hear someone preach on Christ having done everything and all that I do is believe, it's so easy to step beyond that and get trapped in religion and forget that you never go beyond the cross. You don't. You say, well, yes, you do. No, you have to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. All right? But it's self-denial. You love not your life unto death. But do understand that my salvation is based on, first of all, the blood of Jesus Christ, which is shed for me. I'm made righteous by his blood. It cleanses me from all unrighteousness, hence it makes me righteous. Now, interestingly enough, the life of the soul is in the blood. The Bible teaches that. And so to have the soul life of Jesus within you, the mind of Christ, and the will of God, and the desire to go God's way, comes by faith in the blood. It does not come by my actions. And it permeates my soul. Now that's faith in the shed blood on Calvary. What we're believing in is he shed his blood for me. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. The word of my testimony is, I'm a son of God. I'm born from above. God saved me. Christ died for my sins, that he might deliver me from this present evil world. And so my life is always governed by the simplicity of the gospel. It is not governed by religion, and it is not governed by demands of the law, be they Christian law. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, do understand that what set me free is the law of the Spirit of life. And the law of the Spirit of life is the life of faith. And Paul writes to the Galatian church, he says, look, he said, there's something happened to you. He said, I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. It's the gift of God brought to us, and it's the grace of Christ, and it's all that Christ did for me before I was born, when I was yet an enemy. All right? Now, it's so amazing that here's a Galatian church, and they got trapped into religion so quickly. And then Paul goes on and specifies what the problems were, which means it's very easy to know where your problems are going to come from. And then he goes on. And he says, you've been unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you've heard of my conversation, manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But, and do put your finger there on verse 15. Do you know, one of the things about religion is it gets into the traditions of the fathers. And Paul says, I was exceedingly zealous, not after God's principles, but after the traditions that were passed down by the fathers. And he got himself in bother. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him amongst the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. And he makes it plain, look, the gospel's not a man's gospel. Now, the reason it's not a man's gospel is because, as you learn over the conference, what we are trusting in is what Christ did for us 2,000 years ago. All right? Body, soul, and spirit. My healing was purchased 2,000 years ago. My deliverance was purchased 2,000 years ago. I rest on Christ's finished work. Amen? My testimony is I'm a son of God. Now, what it isn't, and this is so important to understand, my works today do not justify me, nor ever could. No matter how obedient I am, that is not the basis of my justification in Christ. Jesus Christ was raised for my justification. My obedience will never justify me. I believe in original sin. I believe we're all born. And Paul's writing, hey, I was separated from my mother's womb. Who did it? God. Look, verse 15. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him. That is basically the truth. I believe any true child of God, God knew in the womb. You know, before you were born, God knew you. He knew all about you. Do you know all your members were written in his book before the world was? God is in total control. Nothing's chance in the sense of your life. Time and chance happeneth to every man, but I want to tell you, your salvation and all that God did and your choosing happened before the world was. That is what the Bible teaches. That's what I believe. I was in him before the foundation of the world. So were you. It's nice to know. I have eternal security because I was in him before the foundation of the world. And eternity will be when the world is no more. So I have eternal security. Once I'm born again, I know. What you have to understand is the reality of your birth, and it all goes back to what Jesus did for you. And strangely enough, it goes forward to what Jesus did for you. And in eternity, you won't be able to boast that you got to heaven by your obedience. You'll be able to boast you got to heaven because Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for you. He did it all for you. It's all of God. My salvation's of God. And I don't want to move out of grace. I think it's much better to live in free gift than to live in works. Don't you? Now, Paul found the trouble with the church was that they started getting infected by Jews who came along and said, just a minute, but you have to do this, this, and this. And they take people away from the gospel and start saying, you know, it's abstaining from meats, it's observing this, it's doing that. And Paul writes and he says, listen, that's not the basis of the gospel. Let's look on. Chapter 2, verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we would remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, do you see what had happened? What had happened is along comes Peter, and along comes the brethren from James, and they say, just a minute, you're Christians, you've accepted Christ, but you were Jews and you were circumcised. Now, there are requirements of a Jew that you have to live by, and one of them was they weren't to eat with Gentiles. And out he went. There was a time when Peter was in freeing Christ, but legalism came in, and along they came. And Paul's saying, just a minute, you're not justified by living a certain way. You're justified by the faith of Christ. It's not by the works of the law. Now, do understand that that is what religion brings on people, a demand for works in order to be justified. I'm not justified by anything I do. I'm justified by what Jesus has done for me. And that gospel is the same throughout all my life. The saving virtue of the gospel is that I live by that faith of Christ every moment of every day, and it's not by obedience, and it is not by fulfilling some legalistic requirement. Okay? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, where the snare comes is people, everyone has a reckoning as to what someone else should do. I'm not justified by what I do. I'm justified by what Jesus did for me. Now, if I violate biblical principle in the sense that I come outside of the household of faith, I'm in trouble. But I don't eat things strangled, nor offered to idols. And Paul said, look, circumcision availeth nothing, or uncircumcision. What avails is righteousness. And we're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. Every moment of every day. And when you get to the position you realize what justifies you, it's not what I do, it's what he's done for me. You then realize that the gospel, you don't ever leave it. What you heard is a way of living. It's not an experience that saves you to then go on from and dump. Do I have responsibilities? Oh, yes, I do. But my responsibilities do not change the gospel. The justification is always there on the basis of what he did. And as long as I live like that, I'll always be justified. The moment I think that it's what I do, whether I'm obedient in the minutest detail to what people think should be done, that will not justify me. It's the faith of Christ. Okay? Now, you can slide into the error, as John in his epistle had to write, hey, you know, if that's the case, that it doesn't matter what I do, or let's take what Paul says, shall we continue in sin, in Romans, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But what he didn't tell them to do was get under the law. What he told them to do was live by faith and walk in the Spirit. And you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you can only walk in the Spirit if you walk a life of faith. And faith is faith in what Jesus has done for me. That's the saving power. It's Christ in you who's the hope of glory. It's not something I do. It's something he did for me. And what I don't want to happen is to have a lovely conference at Easter, and 2 weeks later I discover that people have lost the gospel. You live in it. Every moment of every day, I thank God that Jesus died for me. He did it all. Now, it puts responsibilities upon me, but those responsibilities never negate grace. I want to live by grace. Okay? Can you understand what I'm saying? Now, that is where the big divide comes in the seed of the bond and the seed of the free. The seed of the bond demands obedience. The seed of the free laughs. And that's a mystery. But the seed of the free will be more obedient than the seed of the bond. And that's, we'll come on to it. I'll show you. It says it here. You know, we're in the right book. I love my Bible. Do you know, I think everyone should be compelled to read Galatians 50 times. You know, it would change your life if you just read the book of Galatians all the way through 50 times. Not 50 times one after the other and doing nothing else. But you should just sit down and read it through. Should try it. Because then you get things in context. Don't ever read a chapter. People read chapters at a time. That throws you out completely. You read a book at a time. It's far easier. You get everything in context. And if you read this 50 times, it'd change your life. Really would. Because you'd stop worrying about what people think. You see, Paul's gospel wasn't delivered by man. It's amazing how man's opinion governs our lives so much. What you want to find out is what God's opinion is. Well, God's opinion is that you're justified by the gospel, not by what you do. It's the faith of Jesus. Okay? I know it's violence you'll have to do with yourself if you've been taught for years that, you know, you've got to obey. Now, I believe in obedience. I'm not negating it. I'm not, you know, Paul had to, when he wrote to the Romans, he said, look, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. You see, the only thing that ever overcomes sin is grace. And grace is a gift. And you won't overcome sin by fighting and self-denial. You overcome sin by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Now you have to live in the constant awareness of the gift. That's the only way to victory. The just shall live by faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh. Right, let's look on. I hope you do. Verse 17 of chapter 2. For if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ, the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's God's faith you live by. And his faith was in what he did on Calvary's tree. His faith is not on your obedience. His faith is on the basis of what he's done. It's the gospel. And that is where the big divide comes. People are condemned. People live in sin, and they try and fight sin by will worship, by self-flagellation, by all kinds of rules, by religious exercise. Hey, you fight it by the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that gospel brings me into the salvation freely when I live by faith. I don't rebuild legalism in my life. Coming out of law, I don't want to rebuild it. Thank you very much. Okay? But it doesn't mean then you can do what you like. Because you love him, because you understand he did it all, because he set you free, you live in the freedom of his life, his faith, his power now. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, not in the spirit. Look at that. You know, there's so many people, they want to be in the spirit all the time. Paul said he was in the flesh. The life which I now live in the flesh. You see, you're not a spirit, you're a person. Now, I know there's fleshy life, but we're not talking about that. You're a human being. The way you converse with people, they don't see your spirit floating mysteriously up and down, do they? What they see is your body, and it's what we are in the flesh. I love this. Paul has it right. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Why? Because if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, if my obedience to law, rules, my perception of what God wants, if obedience brought righteousness, then there's no need for Christ to have died. That's Paul's argument. Is that clear to everyone? It's all grace. By grace are you saved, through faith. It's not of yourself, it's a gift. And you see, you live every day by gift. You don't live by law. It's a gift. Paul had to write to the Galatian church. He said, the trouble is, you've left it. How can you be so soon removed from the gospel? What has happened? It's the gospel. Good news. You never ever come out of gospel life. And it's always the faith of Christ. So what I preached last weekend is for this weekend. In fact, it's for every weekend. In fact, it's for every day. The gospel. And the gospel is simple. Christ died for my sins. Dead and buried. Third day rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. He that believeth shall be saved. He that doesn't, condemned already. And it's so easy to switch back into legalism and to switch back, because that's what the church does to people. By demanding they live according to certain principles that they call Christian, and then you're stuck because suddenly your righteousness is by what you do. Let's read it. I do not, verse 21, put your hand on your heart. Say, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if what I do makes me righteous, then the gospel is of none effect. I live by my actions, not by the gospel. The sacrifice of Christ is of no effect. He died in vain. If that's how I live. But I don't. I live by the grace of God. He died for me. Third day rose again from the dead. I believe it. Right now. I'm saved. I'm righteous because of what he did. I have his righteousness, his life. Every moment of every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, plus an extra day every leap year. I miss nothing out. I live for him. All right? Is that all right?
Yes.
Now, you say, well, why be so particular about it? Because here's a whole church, the Galatian church, who got trapped by people. Now, look, a lot of people who grew up in religious homes, and they switch from gospel to obedience. And that's deadly. Righteousness is by faith. Life is by faith. The just shall live by
faith.
Not they shall just live. The just shall live by faith. You understand what I'm saying? And that is where a snare comes in. Because people that don't understand that, they bring condemnation onto people because they judge that righteousness comes by actions. Righteousness does not come by actions. Righteousness comes by Christ. He governs my actions. For Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He is everything to me. Let's go on. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. And you say, but just a minute, it talks about obeying the truth. Yeah, but what truth are you to obey? Ah, here's what you're to obey. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How do you receive? Hey? The hearing of faith. Now, you obey the truth when you live by faith. You disobey the truth when you live by works. The danger is that you don't understand what you obey. Obedience is not legalism. It's obedience to the faith. And the faith is in Christ's atoning work for me, in his life within me, in his work within me, in his faith to keep me. It's all of God. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. It's all in him. Okay? Now that is what you obey, that truth. Don't get caught up in another truth. Let's read on. Are you so foolish, Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now how does he do it? How does he do it? Huh? By the hearing of what? Faith. Now, you've got to hear what faith says, not what law says, not what custom says, not what religion says, what God says. All right? And it's all to do with hearing. Hearing of faith. I hear. And when I hear, I do. I do because I am. What am I? I'm a son of God. I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not my faith, his. And so, it's not I, but him. Now you say, but I don't feel it. You're not meant to feel it, you're meant to believe it. See? It's all by faith. Lots of people, they wonder, you know, I don't come up to a platform on a Sunday morning and think that God is going to bless people because I have lived an immaculate life for the last 7 days. God deliver me. If the basis of my helping people and laying hands on people is based on what I am, they're stuffed. They've got no hope. But it's not. It's based on what Jesus has done for me. He lives in me. And I'm not relying on me. And if you rely on yourself, it's a hard life trying to be a Christian. Trying to live up to what you can't live up to, because the only one who can live a Christian life is Jesus. Get him living in you. Believe and walk in faith, and it's easy. And I don't worry about what I've done. And I never think when I walk in, or when I go anywhere in the world, I never think, God, I've got to get myself really tuned into you. I'm always tuned into him. He lives in me. Couldn't get detuned. See, I'm a faith person. Christ lives in me. But I tell you this, I'm not dehumanized. God's alive in me. Not because of what I do, but because of what he did 2,000 years ago on Calvary's tree for me. I'm justified by him. He rose again from the dead. My faith isn't in my lifestyle. My faith is in my God. And therefore I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have a simple life. I don't have to spend hours crying and weeping and trying to find God. I know where he is. He lives in me. Faith. That's what Paul lived by. Faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't have any problem making a few tents. Earn a few bob. He didn't have any problem. Peter didn't have any problem going fishing. Christ never ever complained about his going fishing. He just told him to let down the net and the thing broke. That fixed his fishing for the next week. Don't ever get the idea into your mind that somehow being spiritual is something to do with not being normal. To be normal is to be spiritual. Because you're in the flesh, see? But Christ lives in your flesh. And I live by the grace of God. Every moment of every day, the gospel saves me. I need saving every day. We live on earth. You know, but we're not justified by what we do. We're justified by what he did for us. And the Galatian church switched over. Look at how it goes on. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I just believe God. I live by the gospel. I believe redemption. Okay, every moment of every day it's redemption for me. I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. God lives in me. I'm alive. That means you don't have to become morbid and miserable and condemned. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do, because it was weak in the flesh, when you start going on in Romans, you suddenly think, just a minute, if there's no condemnation and I walk in the law of the Spirit of life, how do I walk that way? Why? The law is that I'm made righteous by what he did. That's the law of the Spirit of life. And the just shall live by faith, not by works. So it doesn't matter what you do, you're righteous, see? You're righteous not because you're nice, not because you do the right things. Why are you righteous? Because Jesus died for me. And the third day rose. I'm justified. It's just as if I never sinned. Not because I've kind of lived up to some mythical standard, but I believed what he did. I live by the gospel. Full of the gospel, full of the gospel. Jesus Christ, my Lord. See, now let's look on. It says this, know you therefore, verse 7, know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. For the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, how? Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, be made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I get excited. I mean... it's so wonderful to know that I'm not justified by the way I live or by my obedience. I'm justified by believing the gospel. That's wonderful. I mean, it's just wonderful to know that no matter what people think, if I live by the law, then I'd have to be cursed. But Jesus took the curse for me. And the law is a cursed thing, and religion is a cursed thing. If you go to some churches, they're so legalistic. And how many times have you been told, well, if you really fast and pray, and you really do this, and you really do that, hey, just a minute, it's by the hearing of faith, not by the works of the law. No flesh is justified by the works of the law. Someone tells you a spiritual secret, do this, this, and this, and then. Don't believe them. Never worked that way for me. I'm justified by faith. But religion can trap you. And it's amazing how you hear the gospel of grace and you leave the gospel of grace for works of law. It's so easy to do. Look. Christ, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It's all a promise. Everything's a promise. Everything's a faith. I'm justified by what? Faith. It's promise. Hey, you know, it's wonderful when you know it's not what I do, it's what he's done for me. Wonderful when you live in the reality of total dependence on him. You see, the law is a schoolmaster. Well, the schoolmaster teaches us that we are rebellious. That's really what it teaches us. The law teaches us that we can't live, we can't make it. That's when we come to faith in Christ, when we realize we can't make it. Now life teaches us we can't make it. And then we turn to Christ, and he made it for us. And it's a promise. I live by promise. Jesus, the gospel, it's all promise. I believe. I receive by promise. Not what I do, I receive by promise. I'm Christ. I put on Christ, I've been baptized into Christ. He's everything to me. Promise. It's never ever what I do, it's what he has done for me. Okay? Do you all understand that? I know that's a quick kind of skim through Galatians. It's all by faith. Don't ever let what happened over the Easter weekend slip because you forget the truths. And don't slide back. You see, the devil's out there trying to testify, and he testifies by legalism, he testifies by symptoms, he testifies by everything to get you not to believe what God has promised. And that's where you get stuck. But if you believe in the face of everything that God has sent his word and it won't return to him void. It's going to accomplish what he sent it to do. You have faith. You live on the promise. It's true for me. Okay?